Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 1 of The View from 4 Feet and 3 Inches. In case you don't know me, my name is Cassidy Huff. If you do know me, nice to see you again. Look at how professional I look right now. I'm sitting on my couch, but I have a mic in front of me. That's really the only reason I think I look professional. Anyways, it is a step up. As this podcast series continues to grow, I promise that I will try to look a little more professional each and every time. I will have, you know, probably a new mic setup until I figure out what I really like. My background might change a little bit. I might actually have some art on the walls. But for the next few episodes, this is what you guys get. So yes, I now have a podcast, and I do expect that this episode is a little bit shorter than the other ones that I'm planning to do, just because this episode is simply just an introduction episode. I named it Who is Cassidy Huff because I'm gonna tell you who I am. Even if you know me personally, there might be a few facts that I threw out in this episode that you didn't know. Or maybe you did and I'm just repeating myself, but whatever. These are questions that I get all the time, either in DMs or in person or sometimes on those little Q&A story things on Instagram. So that's where I got these questions from, and I'm really gonna delve into who I am as a person, what I like to do, why I chose this career, and why I'm starting this podcast, so stay tuned for me to answer all of your questions. So let's start off really easy. Who is Cassidy Huff? She is me. I am her. I recognize that this can get a little confusing. However, I am Cassidy Huff, in case you were wondering. There's no one else in this house. There's no one else in this room. It's just me. So I'm what you get. I am a disability rights activist. I'm a content creator and social media influencer, I guess, whatever you want to call it. I am an actress, comedian, singer, dancer, voiceover artist, writer, director, best-selling author, many more things, but that's very much my career. So when people ask me what I do for a living, I do a little bit of everything, honestly. There's not specifically one thing that I do. I know a lot of people know me from my social media activism and my disability activism, and that's great. But I wear so many different hats at once. And so that's really why I wanted to make this episode, to explain like what it is I actually do, to give you guys a closer look into my life. Now let's move into a little more of what I love to do, but I don't do it professionally. I love to bake. I love to crochet and embroider. I love to read. I'm a service dog mom to my service dog Champ, who I love, and I love to teach him new things. I'm very much just an all-around kind of creative human being. I love to create. I love to solve problems. I'm very empathetic, so I love to be there for people. I love to take care of people and provide for them. I've always told my boyfriend that I want our house to be the house where everyone feels comfortable coming into, and people know that they have a place to stay, that there's always food in the fridge or in the pantry. There's usually always a fresh loaf of homemade bread over there if they want any, or some kind of baked good that I've experimented with. And I just love being there and taking care of people. And I firmly believe that everyone is creative. Even if you're not necessarily in a creative field, I think that all of us are creative beings. I think we are all creative by nature, and that our instincts just constantly tell us to create. Whether you like to create things in the kitchen, or you like to read and kind of create worlds in your mind, whatever it is, we are all so creative, even if we have not chosen to go into a creative career. So I love to create, no matter what it is. Like, I currently have a paint by numbers thing on my table that I'm looking at right now, because I thought that would be a great thing for my boyfriend and I to do for a date night. We both love to create things, and we both love to create things together, and we also have no art on the walls. So my thoughts were, let's create something together that then we can hang up on our walls, which I'm really excited about. Anyways, so I just love to create things, and I love hanging out with other people who like to tap into that in themselves, and I love to just riff off of people. I don't feel like this is common knowledge about me, so I'm gonna say it. I love to write. Like, I currently have a journal open in front of me that has all my notes in it for this podcast. I sketched out this episode and kind of how I wanted it to flow. And I love writing. When I was going through the process of moving from my mom's house to LA, you know, you have to clean out your childhood bedroom. And so I went to clean out my bedroom, and I was going through some of my childhood things, and hidden away in bins in my closet, there were, I think I counted like 17 notebooks that I had just written in when I was little. I would just write everything from what I ate in the day to how my day went, to how I was feeling, to fights that I got into with my sister, to letters that I never sent to people or gave to people, to dreams that I had when I was older, to literally everything, I wrote it down. And these notebooks and journals were just filled with my thoughts, and they were all dated. And that's why I date all of my journal entries now, is because I love to look back at them and be like, wow, that's what I was going through at that time. You know, I just think it's so interesting. And the kind of journey of life that we all take. Oh, I don't know why I just sounded like that. Anyways, the kind of journey of life that we all take. I love that about the human experience. And I love looking back on my life and seeing how far I've grown. Something that I started doing when my boyfriend and I first started dating is I started writing him letters. And I don't know why I started it. I think it was because I couldn't talk to him at a certain time, like directly. So I just started writing all my feelings down, because that's kind of what I do and that's what I've always done. And I have kept that up throughout the entirety of our relationship. I've just written him letters anytime that I felt really happy about our relationship, or even after getting into an argument with him, I write how I'm feeling down, because there are so many things that I want to say in so many moments, but sometimes I'm not sure how to word them. So by putting them out on paper, it's almost easier for me to go through my thoughts. And so there's just a book of letters that I've written him over the 2 years that we've been dating. And my idea is, we're a long-term relationship. I know that I'm going to marry that man. And so my idea was that I really want to turn it into like kind of like a scrapbook type thing, or like a book, something where all of those letters are bound together. And I want that to be my wedding present to him whenever we decide to get married, or whenever he proposes, am I right? Just kidding. We're not there yet. Sorry, Mom. Don't panic. So I want to have that be definitely a present that I give him. I'm thinking to give it to him on our wedding day, or as a wedding present. I'm not quite sure yet, but that's kind of how I'm feeling in the moment. So I do love to write, and I don't think people know that about me. And I think the way I write definitely has to do with my contents, with my social media content success. I just think that I have really honed in on that specific part of my writing skills. I was also always the kid who wrote too much in school, and so my teachers would come to me and be like, please stop writing. I know I gave you this assignment, but you wrote 10 pages when I told you to write 2, and I don't want to read all of this, so please stop. So I was that kind of kid, and I love to write. One other thing that I love to do is I love to read. And I read a lot. Right now, my favorite series is anything written by Sarah J. Maas. I love her. I love the world building. I love being able to read something and have the world in which I'm reading kind of come together in my brain, if that makes sense. Like, I can see everything that she's writing about in my brain, like a movie that's playing. And I love that kind of writing. I love the fantasy world building kind of writing. So I read all of her A Court of Thorns and Roses series. And now I'm reading the House of Sky and Breath series, I think it's what it's called. But I'm really excited. The new book just came out and I've been reading it, and it's so good. It's so good. Oh my gosh, I love it. Anyways, so I also really love to read. And I love to dream. One of my favorite times ever is going to sleep. And I know that sounds really depressing, but listen, I love dreaming because I dream so vividly and clearly that it feels very real to me. And I get a lot of my creativity from my dreams. Like, I get a lot of my ideas for content and my ideas for short films and things that I can direct and everything. I get pretty much everything from my dreams. So I love going to sleep at night and dreaming because I know that I'm gonna wake up and be like, oh my gosh, I have this brand new idea, and just have it kind of flow out of me. So if I'm really ever in like a writer's block situation where I can't, where I physically cannot write a project anymore because I feel like I've lost inspiration or I'm just stuck on a certain project, I will actually say to myself, I need to go to sleep right now. Like, I need to go to sleep or sleep on it. A bus just pulled up outside my window. Rude. Anyways, I will actually need to sleep on it because I know that the answers will come to me in my dreams. It sounds so strange, but I promise it works. That's the way my brain works. I'm not sure why. It's just always been that way. Right now, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, I will be answering the most common questions that I get, whether it's about my content and about my life in general. So I'll see you after the break. All right, we are back with the most common questions I am asked. By far, the most common question I get asked when I tell people that I'm a performer is how old was I or like when did I start performing? And the answer is very cliche, but I'm gonna say it anyways. I've basically been performing my whole life. Like, I was the kid who put on shows in my living room. I made my sister act in them. I made my whole family watch them at Christmas or Easter or whenever the family was together, or even when just my mom was in the room. I was that kid. Like, I love to write and direct and act at such a young age. I was writing songs at like 2 years old. Like, I loved to perform. That was never a question for me. My family was always like, oh, she's a performer. So it was never a shock to anyone in my family when I was like, I want to act, I want to sing. Everybody was like, yeah, you would. Like, we know. So my first actual performance outside of my living room was because of my Make-A-Wish. And I will go into this in another episode, like more deeply, in more detail. But I was 4 years old and my Make-A-Wish was to meet the band Rascal Flatts. Specifically, I wanted to meet Jay DeMarcus, who was the lead guitarist for Rascal Flatts. I don't know why. Actually, I do know why. And I will go into more detail about that in the episode where I break down my Make-A-Wish and what it was and why I chose it. But I was 4 years old and I was just supposed to meet the band. I was just supposed to eat dinner with the lead guitarist and then meet the band and have some picture opportunities. That turned into something much more because I was a sassy four-year-old who thought she knew everything and I wanted to do what I wanted to do and I had other plans. I don't know what possessed my four-year-old brain to ask to sing on stage, but I did, and no one is going to say no to a four-year-old little girl on her Make-A-Wish day. So I performed the song My Wish with the band Rascal Flatts on the Tacoma Dome stage in Tacoma, Washington, in front of a sold-out crowd of 17,000 people, and that was my very first performance. So I really took the phrase go big or go home very literally from a very young age. Once that happened, I think it really solidified it for my family that performing was just going to be a normal part of my life and their lives, and they were just going to have to sit through all of my shows that I made them sit through in the living room at all of our family events. So they were always very supportive because they just kind of knew that that was the path that I was meant to be on, and the decision never really crossed my mind. It was later that I started having existential crises about, oh no, like this career path that I've been doing my entire life, what if I don't make any money from doing it? And, you know, those kinds of thoughts started creeping in, but that didn't happen until I was like 17 or 18. It was very late in the game, and by that point, I had already applied to colleges, and my path was kind of set at that point in my life. So I have been performing for my entire life, basically. The next question is, how did I start creating content? And the answer is by complete accident. My mom will tell you that I firmly believed I was a YouTuber when I was in like middle school, and I did. I was making videos with my sisters and myself. I was making vlogs. I was making story times. Like, I genuinely thought I was a YouTuber when I was like 12. I got maybe like 50 views max. I was not famous by any means, and I deleted all those videos, so don't even try to go looking for them. They're not, they don't exist. I have them, but I don't think they exist on the internet anymore, thank God. We've all done things, especially when we were 11, 12, 13, and that was a thing that I did. I think we all had that like YouTuber phase that we were all convinced that like we were YouTubers. I know my boyfriend and I for sure did. So I deleted all those videos and knew that social media was going to become a part of my life. I just didn't know when. And boy, did it come in hot. I posted a video one night. I was 18 years old. I had just graduated high school. I posted a video. I decided that I wanted to post about disability activism because I was following a bunch of disability activists at the time, and I really respected what they were doing, but I felt like I brought a new perspective to the table, and I felt like I had things to say about the topics that they were already talking about. So I decided to make this video where I said, "Hi, my name is Cassidy Huff," and basically just listed my credentials. I said that I was disabled and explained my disability a little bit. I explained what I did for a living and that I was in the performing arts. And I thought nothing of it, didn't really think it was going to get that many views. I posted it at like 11 p.m. on a Tuesday night. It was not planned at all. I was fully expecting to have to claw my way to 10,000 followers even, and I woke up the next morning and found that that video went accidentally viral. By the time I looked that morning, it had a couple hundred thousand views, and I had 10,000 followers literally overnight. At 18 years old, I had this platform that I had no idea what to do with. I think a lot of 18-year-olds barely have their life figured out. I know I was in that boat, and so then you hand an 18-year-old 10,000 followers and thousands of comments, and I didn't know what to do with that. Like, what am I supposed to do with that? So it was kind of scary, but it was fun. It was terrifying, and I really had to figure out what I wanted my platform to be. And I eventually settled on the fact that I wanted my platform to be a safe space where people could come and educate themselves about disability, but also I wanted it to be fun for me, where I wasn't just educating all the time, and I was posting content that I wanted to post, and I love teaching, I love educating others, but I didn't want to do that all the time because that is emotional labor and it's very exhausting sometimes. So I wanted to make sure that I was also prioritizing my mental health. So you'll see, I do some vlogs and I do some story times and I give some advice and I also do educational content, but it took me a while to develop that, so it didn't come overnight. And I can get more into that in another episode, but yeah, that's kind of where it stemmed from, was accidentally. One of the fun questions that I'm going to answer was sent in by a follower of mine, and they were asking why I don't post more day in the life videos. The reality is my life is pretty boring. I only show you guys the fun things. I usually just sit on my couch and edit for hours a day. I don't really go anywhere. I bake and I crochet and that's fun, but I don't really go anywhere, and I need to fix that. It's something I'm working on in therapy, but because I need to go more places because I'm a very social, outgoing person, so I need to work that into my routine, but I don't really do much in my, like, interesting. I don't really do many interesting things in my day in the life. So, I don't know. Maybe when more interesting things happen, I'll start posting more day in the life videos, but that's why I don't really do day in the life videos, is because I just do my job, which is social media, and most of the time that looks like me filming for 5 to 10 minutes and then me editing that video for, like, hours, because I'm a perfectionist and everything needs to be perfect. And also working on like 4 or 5 different platforms at once, and also 10 to 15 projects at once. So that's why I don't post a lot of day in the life videos, because that would be just another project to work on and I don't have time for that. And the last question that I'm going to answer today is why I started this podcast. So I started this podcast because, not only because I think it's another platform to reach people, but also because I love posting on other platforms, but I feel like I wanted to give people more of a long form way to get to know me and actually put my thoughts out into the world. TikTok is great, but my longer form videos don't do great on there. YouTube is great, but again, my longer form videos don't do great on there. This is a longer form video, by the way. This is also a YouTube video that I'm recording. I'm recording a YouTube video and a podcast at the same time. So you guys are great on YouTube. And I wanted to create this podcast. I wanted it to have a visual aspect too, just because sometimes I know I'm in the mood to like listen to a podcast, but also have something to watch if I want to. So that's why the visual aspect on YouTube is up. I wanted there to be a platform where I could get my thoughts out there in a long form content way. I love to talk, and YouTube shorts have a 1 minute maximum rule. You can't go over 60 seconds with your shorts. TikTok has a 10 minute long feature. That's not long enough for me to talk and say all the things I want to say. Facebook and Instagram Reels have a 90 second rule. So you can't go past 90 seconds either, which again, if 10 minutes isn't long enough for me to say what I want to say, then 90 seconds isn't going to be long enough for me to say what I want to say. So that is why I created this podcast. The reason it's called The View from 4 feet and 3 inches is because I am 4 feet and 3 inches tall due to my dwarfism. So I thought that was very clever, and I stole that name with permission for this podcast. I'm really excited about it. There are some kinks to figure out with this podcast. I understand that, but I'm really excited to see where this goes. Please like, follow, give a 5-star rating, go follow me on other platforms, subscribe, everything like that. I also have a Patreon that you can find me on to help me continue to make content, because that's what I do with that money. And thank you so much for tuning in. I'm so excited to start this journey with you, and I'm really excited to see where we can go together on this journey. So thank you so much for watching and listening, and I will see you next time. Bye!